This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is Going Global, the program where we speak to entrepreneurs from around the world. I'm Tasha Fasil. Described as a remote control for your laundry basket, Laundrap is an app in the UK that helps to clean and deliver your clothes when and where you like. However, it's not the first laundry startup to ride the on-demand wave. So we're speaking to founder and digital entrepreneur Ed Ralph about Laundrap and why ridding the world of dirty laundry was a problem he wanted to solve.
Yeah, look, that's a very good question. And I think the honest truth is, you know, I don't come from a laundry and dry cleaning and certainly not a dirty laundry background. My focus over the last 15 or 20 years has been really around digital innovation, building disruptive digital startups. And this just happened to be an industry that we felt was absolutely ripe for disruption.
What was it about the industry that you thought was ready for this disruptive shift?
Well, the thing that we learned about the laundry and the dry cleaning industry very early on when we were even just kind of in the early stages of kind of validating even just the concept of doing this business, the thing that became very, very clear is that this is an industry that really hasn't changed in the last 4 or 5 decades. It's still predominantly paper-based industry. Many of the processes and the supply chain, etc., just don't have a level of sophistication that you see in other industries. And certainly from a technological standpoint, you know, the technology really just isn't there. So it made it an absolutely incredible opportunity to add kind of our digital products, digital marketing skills to really disrupt and kind of shake up this industry, which is very much needed.
So the original idea was someone else's, but your primary role in Laundrap was the execution. So what sort of specific expertise and skills were you looking to bring to ensure that there was going to be this stellar execution?
Yeah, well, to use your point there about stellar execution, we're a startup and we're always learning. And like every kind of entrepreneur or business leader in the startup space, you know, we're continually making mistakes and learning along the way. So as much as I think that we've done a great job in terms of executing this business, you know, we still make mistakes and we still make learnings. And I think it's very important that we embrace those along the way. But to answer your question, in terms of what I brought to the table, you know, this is my fourth or fifth startup now. And, you know, in terms of my specific skill set, building digital products, publishing digital products, specifically digital marketing, I come from a heavy digital marketing and business intelligence background. So I tend to be the kind of the product and the data guy within the business.
Just looking at the business itself, at the time when you launched Laundrap, it would have probably been one of the pioneers in the laundry space anyway. But there is that slight fatigue around the idea of the Uber for something. So were there any reservations in the initial stages? And seeing the growth of other competitors coming out of the woodworks, like other laundry-based apps, where does Laundrap position itself?
Yeah, I completely agree with the whole kind of fatigue around the, oh, this is the next Uber for something. However, you know, I should say that that fatigue is probably fairly isolated to people that work specifically in digital startups, because I can certainly tell you if it wasn't for the success of Uber, Laundrap simply just wouldn't exist in the market. We couldn't have launched this business even 2 or 3 years ago. So this entire space, broadening out to kind of the on-demand space, it's still very much at the very, very beginning. Therefore, even though particularly in the kind of the entrepreneurial space and digital startup space, yes, being tagged as being the Uber for something, well, it's fairly fatigued. I should also taper it by saying it's a great validation point and also actually quite flattering to be even kind of referenced like that, because it's typically not us that's using that as a kind of a positioning point for what we do. In terms of your question about competitors, yeah, look, it's a very interesting question, and I probably have a slightly different and interesting response and approach to it. I don't really consider any of these other businesses that are coming into like the on-demand ecosystem or specifically kind of on-demand laundry as really being competitors. every time somebody sets up one of these types of businesses, that's a validation point for our market, and it helps build the general awareness and adoption for these types of services. I don't think for a second that if Laundrap was the only business in this space offering this type of service, you know, it would be much, much tougher for us to drive adoption. And that's specifically because this is such an early stage opportunity. Well, early stage in terms of on demand. You know, we're still trying to change consumer habit. We're trying to get people to effectively stop using their washing machines and switch over to swiping 3 times in an app. And that doesn't happen overnight. And I think it takes, you know, a lot of time, a lot of effort and energy and daily pushing. I think it takes a lot of momentum. And I think it also takes a lot of competitors to really try and build up that awareness and that adoption. And I think that trust that the industry needs.
What do you think is key in shifting that consumer behavior, especially to get more people to really flip that habit, probably to them sending out your laundry via an app? You know, it's a very alien process and a very alien thought, especially if you already own a washing machine yourself. So what do you think is key in making that successful transition?
Well, I think there's a few things. There are some things that we can control, and I think there are some things that we can't. I guess the thing that we can't influence as much as we'd like is obviously trust. And trust comes with time, and it comes with building the brand. It also comes with a customer trying us once and us delivering a fantastic service, so that customer wants to come back and place repeat orders with the service. It also takes competitors, and it takes, you know, a lot of time and money as well in terms of advertising. So it's an ongoing, certainly the biggest challenge that we have in our business around, you know, changing this consumer habit. To answer your question, I guess, more directly, specifically in terms of Laundrap, there's really 2 major points of our business which really, well, has the potential to change these consumer habits. One is certainly around convenience, and this is a business that's built entirely around convenience. Mm-hmm. So much like Uber, the fact you can open an app and you can hail a taxi within a couple of minutes and you can see the taxi on within the app, etc. You know, you don't have to worry about carrying cash and cards and things. It's just incredibly convenient, and that's why people use it. It's the same thing with Laundrap. You know, when you use a service like Laundrap and, you know, you've realized that actually, you know what, every week I clean whatever it is, 5 shirts and maybe a pair of trousers or a suit or whatever, and I can do that within literally 10 seconds while I'm on the train coming into the office. It's a game changer because it saves you time. Often, I mean, if you're somebody that does a lot of dry cleaning, for example, it also saves you money, because the other thing that we've done with Laundrap is we've added a layer of transparency to the industry. In an interview I did with somebody else quite recently, I remembered back to a point where we were just at the very early stages of kind of validating the concept. I actually walked into a local high street dry cleaner very close to my home in London. And I basically had the same suit and walked in on 3 separate occasions, not on the same day, I should add, but over the space of a week or so. Mm-hmm. And I was given 3 different prices to dry clean my suit. And I think that's absolutely disgusting, actually. Mm-hmm. And I think that something needs to be done to add that layer of transparency across that entire industry. And that's why, from the very beginning, when we built the product, we added in the functionality to allow people to see the prices up front, as opposed to, say, taxi apps where, you know, you don't know how much you're going to spend until you arrive at your destination, then you get an email. So that's why we took a slightly different approach, because we felt that, you know, that layer of transparency just wasn't there and was something, again, that had the potential to disrupt the market.
To go off slightly on a tangent, you've even started offering gift cards, is that right?
Offering discounts, did you say?
No, gift cards. So you can actually give the gift of laundry.
Oh, I see. Yes, of course. Yeah, no, yes, absolutely. So that actually came about from, I'm incredibly proactive in terms of interacting and interfacing with our customers. You know, it's incredibly important for every business, if not specifically startups, when we're still desperately trying to build the business and validate effectively the proposition that we're building. And it basically means that every 3 or 4 weeks, I go out in our vehicles and do driver days. you know, meeting customers on their doorsteps, etc. Even within our emails that we send to our new customers, you know, I basically provide them my email address and they can send me emails. So every day I possibly get maybe 15 or 20 emails from customers. And, you know, sometimes it's constructive feedback and sometimes it's just, look, I think what you guys are doing is great, but here's three or four suggestions. And actually, many of the best innovations that we've actually added into the product have actually come from those emails and directly from the customers. So the gift card idea is one of them because we have lots of customers. I should say specifically, it seems to be parents of children that are at university. So I'm not sure what that says, but it those suggestions came from that specific cohort. And yeah, it's a product that does pretty well for us. And it sounds quite strange because we actually sell the retail cards actually in the app. Not many people realize, but LaundryApp actually, because we've built a platform, because of the way the supply chain works, etc., on the back end, we've actually been able to add just e-commerce directly into the app. So you can buy items and tag them onto your order, which is another layer of complexity, but also convenience for the customer, because now I can add items to an order and they get delivered at the same time as my laundry. And that's what we do with the retail cards as well. And it seems to be predominantly parents that are tagging the cards onto their laundry orders. And then it appears to be that they're gifting them to their children.
Okay. Ed Ralph, the founder of LaundryApp, a laundry service app from the UK. When we come back, we'll look at how LaundryApp maintains the consistency and quality of their service across the country. This is Going Global, BFM 89.9.
Build fortunes modestly. BFM 89.9.
Good morning. This is Going Global with me, Tasha Fussell. Ed Ralph, the founder of LaundryApp, is with us this morning. And LaundryApp is a laundry service mobile app that's based in the UK, but have since expanded to several cities across the United Kingdom. So Ed, how do you ensure the quality of the partnerships you establish? Because you do outsource your drivers and the facilities you use to do the actual cleaning.
Yeah, the answer is it's tough, but we have a number of different ways that we can track the quality. There are some things that are quite manual. So, for example, we actually have employees that specifically work in terms of quality control. So they work with our partners across the UK every single day to ensure that the quality standards are met. And that goes all the way down to, you know, spot checking individual orders to ensure that they meet the required quality. The other thing that we do as well is that we also understand, just like every single business, you know, problems will occur. And when they do, we have a effectively like a re-clean guarantee that we offer to all of our customers. So if any of our customers are unhappy with the quality of the service, we'll basically just collect, re-clean and deliver back to them completely free of charge. So that tends to work very, very well when we do get the occasional issue that happens. And the other thing as well is we also have a more of a technological solution to this as well. So directly within the app, once the customer completed their first order, they're able to then rate the quality of the experience. And we obviously are able to use location to understand and tally up those ratings directly with our supplier network across the country. So we very quickly see and understand trends if we have underperforming partners in any of our regions. And, you know, obviously we work to resolve issues when those happen. I should say that it's a really great question because, you know, it was definitely a concern that we had at the beginning as well. I think it's fair to say, you know, we certainly don't have that concern now, having operated and understand the market better. You know, the people that we're working with, these businesses tend to be family-run companies, and they tend to have 20, 30, 40 years experience in processing laundry and dry cleaning. So when it comes to us delivering shirts and suits and things like that, this is all they've done for the last three or four decades. So we rarely get any issues around the quality of the product itself. So, you know, that said, you know, I think it's important to ensure that we've got the resources and the technological platform to allow us to obviously maintain service levels.
Yeah. So it sounds like, you know, it just even you mentioned before how your expertise lies in the analysis and collection of data. So if you were to compare the app today and when it first started out, how many iterations has it gone through? And do you think that is sort of like what is really going to set, especially a tech startup, apart from all the other ones that, you know, I'm sure you would have experienced or seen many startups starting and failing.
Yeah, well, yeah, and that's a big question and, you know, probably has a very large answer. But the honest truth is, yes, of course, you know, I've, like I said before, you know, this is my fourth or fifth venture, and the majority of any ventures that you embark upon, you know, won't be a success, but you learn from that experience and you take that experience on into your next business. You know, sometimes there are things that you can control, and sometimes, you know, there are macro things outside of your business that you can't control. And I think with LaundRap, there's a few things that we can do to, I guess, mitigate that risk of failure, particularly because, you know, we were launching a business that didn't previously exist, in the sense that, you know, we're not launching the next social network where we have a bunch of points of validation of successful businesses, or we're launching a retail business where, again, you know, there's many points of comparison. We launched a service here that really didn't exist before, and that's incredibly risky. And there are tons of things that you can obviously do to mitigate that risk, right? So, you know, validating the concept very early on is a big part of that. And through validation, I tend to buy into the methodology of being scrappy, building something, getting it to market as quickly as possible, and taking a very iterative approach to learning about the business and gaining that feedback directly from the customer. You know, I'm not such an advocate for spending weeks, if not months, doing desktop research, trying to understand the market, pulling together lots of reports, etc. I've been there and I've done that, and often it's fine in terms of validating the potential size of a market, but it doesn't do anything in terms of tell you about, you know, how a customer is actually going to interact with your subscription system within your app, or how they're going to interact with selecting products when it comes to them placing an order. So I tend to find that my approach of taking a kind of a much more scrappy and iterative approach to just mobilizing the team as quickly as possible, scrambling a product to market as quickly as possible, and, you know, learning while you're operating the service, although is incredibly stressful, as you can probably imagine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it won't work for everybody. But on the whole, I tend to find that longer term, you know, it drives a better quality of product and probably better results. The important thing, I think, to remember with all of that is that if you're not embarrassed about the quality of your first product, then you probably didn't move fast enough. You know, I sit down and have many friends that have set up other businesses, and they'll sit there and agonize about the branding or the logo or the color of you know, a menu in the app and things like that. And the reality is none of it actually matters at all. Our first version of LaundRap looked pretty bad and was pretty embarrassing, but that's fine. That's exactly what you should be doing. The main point, however, here is having a grip of your metrics and understanding what it is that you're trying to achieve in terms of that first product is really important, because where I've seen many people make mistakes is they will move quickly to bring a product to market, and they will then embark on expensive marketing or publicity way too early before they've even optimized their own product. And at that point, it becomes very, very dangerous, because you start burning customers. So yes, be scrappy and bring a product to market as quickly as possible. And absolutely, you know, it's fine to be embarrassed by your first version of the product. In fact, you should be. But also keep in mind that the point of doing that is to only drip feed customers into the service just enough to give you data points and certainly no more.
You talked about, you know, you've got to pick the right time to really go in with your marketing strategy. And for a startup, you've spent a lot of investment dollars in marketing. So what was the reasoning behind this strategy? How quickly, I mean, at which point did you start rolling out the marketing campaigns? And why did you think a more aggressive marketing approach was well suited for something like LaundRap?
Yeah, that's a great question. So going back to my point about, you know, soft launching a product, we soft launched the first iteration of our business around, 4 or 5 months actually before the official launch. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important for any kind of entrepreneurs out there that are looking to set up predominantly digital businesses that they have this concept of a soft launch and then a hard launch if you want. And the reason for that is because, again, you want to be scrappy, you want to bring a minimum viable product to market as quickly as possible, and then you want to give yourself a number of months, sometimes even possibly years, to actually then optimize the service and then build up to an official launch. Now, many people, there's a misconception that we commenced our aggressive advertising from the very first day. We certainly didn't. Our advertising actually started with our official launch, and our official launch was 4 or 5 months after the soft launch. So that's the process that I found to be the best formula for success for these types of businesses. On the advertising side of things, you know, I come from an advertising background, as I said, a predominantly a digital marketing background. So everything that we do is always tracked and direct response. So even when it comes to TV advertising, for example, you know, we're tracking all of the metrics and redemptions via something that people call attribution. Basically, it just allows you to track individual responses based on, say, individual TV advertisements, which then allows you to build up a picture of kind of profitability and the best times of the day to advertise, etc. So we take a very, very metric approach to every single advertising channel that we employ across the entire business. The reason for that is really that there's two main things, right? One is the holy grail and the position that every new business is trying to get to is trying to prove out return on investment for their marketing dollars, right? So, you know, I spend $1 today and in 6 months, you know, I get $6 back. And that's really the goal of any early stage digital startup, because once you prove that model out, that's when you can obviously raise substantial reinvestment into your business. And obviously it proves out that you're in a position where you can start to scale the company. So that's been a big focus for us. The other thing as well, to be honest, and you know, it's probably quite an obvious thing to say, is that we're effectively in a land grab situation here where there's a gold rush, specifically in terms of the on-demand space, in terms of trying to acquire and effectively retain customers. It's very clear that much like what you've seen in the web space before mobile, you know, if I want to book a flight, I tend to just go to one or two websites because that's now ingrained within my subconscious. You know, if I want to book a hotel, you know, there's one site that I use for booking hotels. You know, if I want to go and buy some electronics or a TV, for example, you know, there's one site that I will go to and use. And it takes a lot of effort and energy and marketing for me to change that consumer habit. And we've effectively got that, again, now in the on-demand space, where I think that there's an opportunity here where, you know, possibly 4 or 5 companies will emerge to be victorious in terms of effectively owning the customer. And it's important that certainly from a laundry and dry cleaning space, that is LaundRap. And that requires very, very aggressive marketing. And yeah, and that's kind of why we do it. Because the opportunity here, right, let's be honest, and this is the reason I'm excited, and this is the reason why, you know, I'm waking up at 5 o'clock in the morning to do an interview with you guys, is that this is a opportunity here to build not only London's or the UK's largest on-demand business. This is an opportunity to build the world's largest laundry and dry cleaning brand. And I genuinely believe that can be LaundRap.
Ed Ralph, the founder of LaundRap, here on Going Global, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.